much more. Hurry, these deals are going 40 to 50% off gifts and Saturday. Only at Target. Free shipping applies to orders over $35.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller. Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's arts support experts. Hope everybody's doing great. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you guys are full, still full from yesterday. That means you ate good. If you're like me, man, Wyatt, who's behind the glass today, guys, we got Wyatt behind the glass, Chase Reed, both out spending some time with their families. But Wyatt, I'm just going to tell you this, man. I know I asked you about your Thanksgiving and I'm glad it went well, but let me just tell you, I hate to brag, but I think I might've been blessed with probably the best plate that there was, man. And it wasn't even me cooking it, so it's not me bragging at all. I did not cook any of it. I went over to Jamie, right? Jamie Moses' house, my best friend, played here. You guys know him. He's an assistant coach on the staff right now, working with the D-line. This guy's doing a great job. But went over there, and as a matter of fact, it's the third year straight that we've done it, right? So we always go over there for Thanksgiving. Him and his wife, Savannah, they do a great job. And when I tell you why, and every year is good, right? Let me preface by saying that every year is dang near like the best, right? Outside of my mom's cooking, right? I always got to hold that top spot there. Nobody take that part. But right there, real close, is what they do over at the Moses. Well, I'm just going to tell you, yesterday, Wyatt, it was so good, man. Man, Savannah's uncle, right? Like, he's a butcher, so she goes down and she gets the food. I feel like I'm sharing all this. I don't think they mind. But anyway, she's got family in Florida and she's down there spending time with them. So when she comes back on Thanksgiving, you know, she brings a lot of the stuff from her uncle. And so as you can imagine, I mean, this guy's a butcher. I mean, he's like legit. So, I mean, we add stuff. I mean, there's like macaroni and cheese with brisket in there. It's like brisket mac and cheese with bacon on the top, baked on top of it. Like that alone, I feel like you guys are getting where I'm going with this. I mean, this food is insane, man. I mean, like the turkey itself was incredible. There's a tenderloin that, I mean, probably was just cooked to perfection. Stuffing, dressing, all that stuff. Corn casserole. Jamie, I'll tell you all this, though. I don't know if you like me, but, you know, me and him, we love collard greens, man. He puts like smoked turkey necks in there. Golly, Wyatt, I might have to go to a timeout and go make a plate right now, bro. I mean, that's how good this food was, and his desserts and all that stuff. So
you got me hungry, and I've had plenty of food over the last 2 days.
Listen, and I hate to be that guy because I know everybody thinks they got the best plate, but I'm telling you guys, this plate, again, I didn't cook it, so I don't want the bragging rights. I'm giving it to them, the Moses. I mean, it makes no sense how good this food is every year, man. Like, they kill it. And this year, I think they outdid themselves. So anyway, shout out to them for always doing that. And then, you know, her family who, you know, provides some of that right from the butcher himself. But, I guess my advice is if you guys ever meet a butcher, man, make sure you get some good Thanksgiving dishes from them, because whatever those guys do is insane. I'm telling you, the mac and cheese is probably the best mac and cheese I've ever had in my life. Like brisket mac and cheese with bacon on top. Like, God, just listen to the sound. That's crazy. But my favorite, though, the greens that Jamie makes are insane, always. Those are he ate like three bowls of them. So, and then the sweet potato casserole, man. That's like my favorite dish. And it was like to a T as well. So anyway, I'm clearly very grateful for that plate, but also very grateful for a number of things. One of those being you guys, our listeners, who make this whole thing possible. Missed you guys yesterday, but excited to be back. We got plenty to talk about. A lot of stuff going on. So shout out to all our folks here in the chat. I see everybody starting to roll in. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Everybody listening via Tide 100.9 Facebook. Hope you guys are doing great and ready for a big weekend, right? We got football going on. Big shout out to Wyatt. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't even aware of all the schedule of everything going on. Speaking of that, I've got it pulled up. And thank you, God, right? Another thing I'm thankful for. My setup is back. I've got my dual monitor back, my PC back. So I'm literally simultaneously, I'm hosting the show, but I'm watching the Ole Miss Mississippi State game, the Egg Bowl, right? And Ole Miss, by the way, just scored. They scored in about what seemed to be maybe three plays, right? It's less than 2 minute drive. They already got points on the board. So if this is in fact Lane Kiffin's last or final game, maybe I should say at home. I don't think he would just ditch them like that. Looks like they're off to a good start. Now, Wyatt, I don't know what the update is on his situation. I think we're supposed to find out afterwards, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. However, in other coaching news, and Ricky mentioned this in the chat, we got to give a round of applause and I guess a big shout out to Coach Jamarcus Shepherd. Now, a little bittersweet for Alabama fans because the news means that we're losing one of our coaches that I think a lot of people – since the day he got here, really, you know, grew to him, right? His energy is very infectious. He kind of felt like he had that old school energy, kind of like that Nick Saban era-esque energy, right? Very loud, very confident. And we all know the good work that he does with the wide receiver room. Well, he has accepted the position to be the new Oregon State head coach. I believe he put out a statement. I'm going to try to pull that up real quick. But my guess is he will be with Alabama throughout the remainder of this season, right? Which there's a lot still on the line, a lot of football to be played. Hopefully we see plenty of that with Alabama. Tomorrow will determine a lot of that. But you got to be happy for the guy. This will be his first head coaching opportunity. He does have experience in the conference on that side of the map here in the United States. So I'm sure he's really looking forward to the opportunity. Now, I'll say this, Wyatt, even though he doesn't have head coaching experience, he definitely strikes me as a guy that is a good fit to be a head coach. I said this other day or last week whenever we were talking about it, but the energy that he brings, and I mentioned this too, like people have to remember being a head coach, man, there's so many more factors and aspects to it. It's not just like, you know, how much ball you know, right? I mean, you're a leader of men. That's one of the biggest criteria when it comes to being a head football coach. You got to be a great leader of men. And he exemplifies that, in my opinion, right? I think he's going to crush that part of it. I think the next step is, right, to get the right staff around him, which leads me to another question. Are there any guys that he could be potentially bringing with him? I guess we'll have to wait and see. You got a guy like Nick Sheridan, who is considered co-offensive coordinator here right now. But he technically, you know, I wouldn't say was demoted, but somewhat was when Ryan Grubb came back. Could maybe Shepherd have a position over there for him? Could you potentially lose a couple more guys? Who knows? And I'm not saying that to I guess, paint some negative picture like you're losing all these coaches. But it's a common trend that when one guy gets hired, he wants some familiarity, right? And best believe, a lot of that familiarity typically will come from where he just came from. So there is a chance that you could see some others leave with them. But if I had to guess, I don't necessarily see that per se. I'm just giving an example. But maybe there could be like a GA or so, a couple guys here on staff that could follow to Oregon State. So that is one thing to keep an eye out for. Again, I have no information on who he plans on bringing with him or who he might. I'm just saying that is something that commonly happens. So you definitely know you're losing him, which in my opinion, Wyatt, I think it's a pretty significant loss. I'm not saying it's not fixable or anything, but to me, I feel like what he brought here was big, right? I mean, we all know the impact that he's had on these wide receivers. They speak very highly of him. We know, you know, just his track record of developing guys. So I do think it's a solid loss, but I'm excited to see who they look to come in next to be the wide receiver coach here at Alabama. Good news is I think Kalen DeBoer will have a pretty easy pitch, right? I mean, hey, who wants to come coach Ryan Williams? We know for a fact he'll be here next year. So your first year as the wide receivers coach at the University of Alabama, you get to work with one of the biggest names in college football at the position. I understand he's not, you know, necessarily playing his best ball this year, but best believe the potential's there, and he's definitely probably due for a big season next year. So that probably would be a pretty easy pitch if I had to guess, if you're trying to find somebody to take over that wide receiver spot, at least the coaching spot, I should say. That being said, we'll go ahead and hit our first timeout to stay on schedule. We're going to dive into the Iron Bowl. We're going to really put a bow on everything. We've got Slade Bolden, speaking of wide receivers, former Alabama wide receiver. He'll be joining us at 12:30 here on the show in about an hour and 14 minutes, so stay tuned for that. And plus, we'll get y'all's predictions. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Call in, drop those there, get your thoughts on the Iron Bowl. Again, we know how big this game is. I want to talk to you guys about it. Right now that Thanksgiving's out of the way, we're turning our attention to the Iron Bowl. We're going to talk about that and more. Come join the stream at The Miller's Edge on YouTube. We invite you guys to hang out with us, interact in the chat, watch me do the show, all that fun stuff. Plus, you can always download that Time 100.9 app that I always recommend because you can listen to the shows wherever you're at. Plus, you can leave app messages and voice messages as well with the ease of the app from Time 100.9, Google Play Store, all that stuff. Ricky said he's got time to call in today, so we'll hear from him and others.
Have you been drinking? But drinking and driving, they just don't mix. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Brought to you by Adeka Lens.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny but cold afternoon, the high 49. Another freeze tonight, clear with the low at 29. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, a chance of rain late tomorrow night, the high 54. Sunday, rain likely mainly during the morning, the high 53. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 47 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. You guys heard it, man. We're now turning our attention also to that time of year. It's Christmas time, right? Thanksgiving's done, slowly approaching December, and that means we're going to start playing some Christmas music here on the show, man. So we're very festive, right? Maybe I should call this a festive Friday edition of the show, man. It's great, man. We got football, festivities, plenty of food. Faith definitely got that. Plenty of F's going around, man. So, yeah, we're very thankful here on the show. We got the Iron Bowl coming up. We'll definitely plan on talking about that. We've been talking about it this week, talking about the matchups, right? Just surface level real quick, right? You got an Auburn team, new energy, new face when you look at DJ Durkin taking over, right? Derek Nix taking over as offensive coordinator last two games, including one being Mercer. We know that. And a true freshman at quarterback. Put up over 100 points on the board, over 1,100 yards of offense, right? That was one thing that, you know, they really struggled with. The defense has been really good, one of the better defenses in the country, especially their front seven. Secondary, a little bit of a vulnerability there, but still, you're talking about a team that has some new life, some new energy, and they're definitely probably looking forward to this challenge, right? They got to win this game if they want to be bowl eligible. We all know they'd probably love to take our opportunity away from the SEC championship game and the playoffs. That said, though, looks like it's going to be an interesting one, right? You're talking about really good front seven going against an offense in Alabama who's been a little bit of a stagnant group the past few weeks, right? Not the best ball we've seen out of Ty Simpson, our quarterback. Something to pay attention to. Can he have a rebound game? A lot of people, including myself, feel like this might be that time for him. It seems like, you know, as a football player, right, you're going to go through slumps. You're going to have some ups and downs. And when you're a really good football player, it's only a matter of time till you get back in your groove, right? It's only a matter of time till you get back in your rhythm. Like, I remember, like, for me, like, my senior year, I remember I had, like, a stretch of, like, might have been, like, three games. Might have, like, maybe half a sack, something like that, but I felt like I wasn't as productive as I wanted to be. But I was, like, right there. I wasn't far off. I mean, I was getting back there, just one there. And then I feel like, boom. Matter of fact, it was early in my senior year. I think it was right leading up, but then we played Ole Miss. I had like three sacks in the first half, and it just it came. So I'm hoping that could be the case for Ty, because if I'm being transparent with you guys, I really believe we're going to need him to play some really good football in this game. I mean, he's got an opportunity to go up against a secondary that has struggled. They've shown a lot of vulnerability on tape. From me watching them, I mean, there's definitely going to be some plays there, but we got to do a good job up front. We got to do a good job handling everything that comes with playing on the road in Jordan-Hare. And we got to just find ways to connect with our guys, man. That's really what it boils down to. That's the biggest difference over the last few weeks, whether it's a timing issue, whether it's just, you know, not, you know, confidently, you know, stepping the pocket, finding those throws that we found, you know, initially over the first half of the year. We got to find a way to connect like we were early in the season, because if you want to win this football game, best believe we're going to have to do that, right? I mean, they've got a really good rushing defense, one of the best ones in the country. We don't run the ball great, so best believe, I mean, we're going to anticipate having to make some plays through the air and you got to connect on as many of those as possible, right? This probably wouldn't be the game that you want to go into and have some of those misses that we've seen in recent weeks that ended up being some critical misses. You know, you go back to South Carolina, you look at LSU and even, you know, Oklahoma, and most recently, right? I mean, even against Eastern Illinois, right? There's sometimes we're not there. And it's only on, and again, it's for the most part, really, it's only, how would I explain this? Why? It's not like we're missing on a whole bunch of stuff, but we're missing on things that we need to hit on, right? It's like a third and long situation. We have a guy open and we just miss him, right? Or it's just a tad late. That's got to be cleaned up in this game, because best believe it's going to be a good Auburn defense that you're playing, and they're going to have plenty of juice. And that's why I think it's important that we come out early, right? Try to take some of that momentum from them, right? Cool them down a little bit, because they're going to come out hot. You already know that. I can assure you that. And I think that would be really good if we can get a fast start in this game. Then on the flip side, defense, biggest challenge for them. They've been playing some really good football. My biggest challenge is we've got to get back to force those turnovers, which we did see against Eastern Illinois, so we've already done that. But in Oklahoma, man, that really was a difference, a turnover battle. If you're minus three on offense and you don't come up with any on defense, man, I mean, you maybe have at best a 20% chance to win a football game. The fact that we still came within two was pretty impressive. That said, defense, they got to do our job. The biggest keys for me, for them, and in this game, containing their quarterbacks, knowing they all have dual threat abilities, that's going to be big. Auburn's going to look to utilize that, best believe that, because in their passing game, at least in recent weeks, you know, trying to get an idea, you know, Derek Nixon, how he likes to call things, a lot of quick pass, screen game, you know you're going to get that. But best believe they will try to run the football and utilize those quarterbacks. And so whether it is quarterback design run or scramble drill, we got to make sure that we're cleaning that up and taking care of that, which I think everybody talks about the struggles you have with dual threat quarterbacks, which is true. I wouldn't say we've been like awful with it. I think that every time people pull up the stats, they've all rushed for the dual threat quarterbacks that we play. They've all rushed for like maybe over 60 yards, which is not great, but I would argue that we've done okay, right? Some people make it seem a lot worse than it is. The biggest thing is you just control that in this game, knowing that Ashton Daniels will see him. He's a starter. He has that ability. Then Deuce Knight, they mentioned that they'll probably have some packages in there for him. Best believe they will take advantage of his athletic ability. So definitely some things to look into this game, and we'll anticipate talking about it a little bit more in depth a little bit later. Wyatt, let me get your thoughts real quick, just kind of surface level thoughts, man. We know how big this Iron Bowl is. We know what everything that's on the line, a trip to the SEC championship, a trip to the college football playoffs. What's your kind of overall outlook on this game? Again, really good Auburn defense, offense, getting some life in them, but we know Jordan-Hare Stadium, man, it's a tough environment. How are you feeling about it so far?
Just, you got to play your game, right? I mean, you've got to be able to hit your stride in the passing game. It's, they're not clicking on all cylinders, but they're close, right? You can see that they're one or two tweaks away, it seems like, away from hitting on all cylinders on the offensive side of the ball there. You've faced a lot of defenses this season, or a couple of defenses this season that are better than Auburn's, right? Statistically speaking, Auburn is top 40, but you know, Georgia's got a statistical better defense. Oklahoma does. Missouri does. So you faced better defenses than what you're going to face tomorrow night down in Jordan-Hare Stadium. But you haven't really faced that rivalry aspect, right? You got it with Tennessee and LSU, but those are both home games. You're going on the road for your first rivalry game this year. Stay ahead of the sticks. That's going to be the biggest thing for this offense here. And then defensively for Alabama, Kane Womack's been putting on a masterclass these last few weeks. Even with Oklahoma, you know, you had the pick six and two short fields really set up Oklahoma in favorable position there. But outside of that, I think, you know, stay ahead of the sticks on offense. Defensively, don't get caught up with all the eye candy that you're probably going to see. And I think they've done a really good job of that over the last few weeks. But stick to your keys and you'll be more than ready to go against Auburn here. Just come out with a win on Saturday. It can be by 50 points. It can be by 1 point. I don't care. Just win Saturday, and then let's turn our attention to Atlanta.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, that's really all that matters right now. And I think that's what these guys are going to have on their mind, because they understand. The good news is, and I guess it's good news now, but, you know, if you look back, they understood last year when you went on the road to Oklahoma and you lost that game, it changed the trajectory of everything. So a lot of these guys are still the same guys from that team that are on this team. So they understand the significance of being in a situation where your back is against the wall and you have to win, right? And plus, we've seen us in critical moments, right? Whether it's South Carolina or other games where You've got to find a way. That is one thing this team has proven to do, even though, like you said, offense might not be firing on all cylinders as of recent weeks, but they have always found a way. Outside of Oklahoma, you know, that was really one of the first times we saw this team not find a way, which, you know, it happens, right? There's, you know, when you kind of play with fire and you're in those tough situations, I mean, you're not always going to be perfect. And that one, they just fell short at the end. That said, it is going to be important. And a couple other things just to mention, right? Auburn's offense, tempo, you got to expect that. Be prepared for that is one key I forgot to mention. You got to be ready to handle that because we all know what comes with that. And they're going to try to go fast. They're going to try to confuse you. Like you said, the eye candy pre-snap, you're going to get all those things. But at the end of the day, you got to go out there. And really what it boils down to is, right, reading your keys, alignment, assignment, playing sound football, and going and tackling and forcing turnovers, man. Which it sounds it's a little easier said than done, but if you can go out and do those things, I think we could do a good job handling that Auburn offense. I mean, they're not great. They haven't been great all year. Last 2 weeks, they've got a little bit of juice. We'll see how much of it is actual real juice because they're about to face probably the best defense or one of the best defenses they've seen this season. That said, Wyatt, I wouldn't be shocked if this is a lower scoring game. I wouldn't be shocked if we're in like the 20s for the final score of this football game. I can see this being a matchup of two really good defenses kind of going back and forth. But I will say this, if we find a way to get our rhythm back offensively and we're connecting in our passing game, I don't think our running, like, look, if we have enough of a running game to help us not be so one-dimensional, but we're back to connecting like we've seen, I think their secondary is vulnerable enough to where we'll see us do what we need to do offensively to end up winning this football game. And whether that's, you know, late score, whatever the case may be, I'm definitely confident in it. But I do see the avenues for where some trouble could come up, right? You definitely want to acknowledge that. That being said, let's go ahead and hit another timeout. We come back. We've got Ricky. We've got Smitty. We got you guys lined up on the phone lines. Want to hear from you guys. We got football going on, right? Ole Miss, Mississippi State. They're playing right now. The Egg Bowl is taking place. Ole Miss just scored again. So now they just went up 13-7 pending the extra point. So just paying attention to that. Again, Lane Kiffin and his big announcement. I don't know how long until we hear from him, but we're supposed to hear from him or the university after this game at some point. So staying up to date with that. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back to the phone lines and go right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to Auburn for the 90th edition of the Iron Bowl. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Free delivery now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid 11/5 through 12/3. U.S. only. See store online for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the
2 years of oil changes only at the family-owned number one volume Nissan dealer in Alabama. And here's the best part. You can get pre-approved in minutes with no impact to your credit. Visit TownsendNissan.com. Today.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC Iron Bowl edition, man. We need to start leading with that. It's the Iron Bowl edition. We got the Iron Bowl tomorrow, man. Thanksgiving was yesterday. We all know how great that was. Hopefully it was great for you guys too, but we got the Iron Bowl coming up. You got the Egg Bowl going on right now. That's all fun and stuff. It's cute, right? But the real deal takes place tomorrow, and that's what we're talking about. 205-342-9904. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Smitty up first, and we got Ricky. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how's it going?
What's up, Smitty? Happy Thanksgiving, man. Or, well, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, I should say.
hey, every day above ground is a great day. I didn't get to visit my family this year, but hey, it was cool just watching football all day.
Nothing wrong with that, brother. Hey, understand,
and living in Phoenix, we don't get the good food here like you do back down south. And I'll leave it at that. But, but here's the thing, right? First, I do have to say congratulations to Coach Shep, but I'm kind of worried at the same time. In 2015 for some of these jobs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At Oregon State, let's be real, it's a dead program, and I hope that he gets to 7-5, 8-4 and leave for the first chance he gets. Because, you know, because that job only paid their last coach $2 million. And how you gonna get a staff with that? And then what kind of NIL investment, because it's a recruiting base? How's that going to affect the portal, because you're still going to other people, depending on the type of player? But I think he'll do a good job, but it's all contingent on the type of program he's at. And I think in that program has to be realistic about who they are as well, if you get what I'm saying. And it's day and age. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't, I found their games on the CW, so you know they ain't getting no money. So it's kind of hard in an era where you're paying. So I hope he does well. And I just hope that he gets out the first chance he gets, because you don't want to have that scarlet letter, your first job. They don't care what the program is, you get what I'm saying?
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's why, I mean, look, who he has around him is going to be critical, right? That's why when we first hired Kalen DeBoer, and I know there's a lot of concern about, well, he, you know, he's never coached in the SEC, and even people like my dad saying, like, oh, well, how's he going to be able to recruit down in the South? He's, you know, never been in that geographic, right? And while those all were somewhat valid, quote unquote, concerns, my whole thing was always, listen, it really is about who you have around you, right? I have no experience in the West Coast other than going and playing a couple football games there. But best believe if I got hired there, you know what I would do? The first thing I would do is go hire people that are from that area that have those connections. You know what I mean? I would establish people amongst my staff to do that. And that's exactly what Kalen DeBoer did, right? He hired several people. He retained people.
Yep.
Right. And coaches that already had those pre-existing relationships. Then he went with those people to introduce himself, formally bringing his people with him as well. And then now we know, you know, how well that has been working out for him. That said, you know, with Jamarcus Shepherd, you know, it's going to be important that he has the right people around him. Right. Different situation and scenario. But I think it's critical.
Yeah.
To anybody's success. Now, you made a good point. I mean, what resources are they willing to give him? That's going to be important, because if he doesn't have his resources or the bright people, I mean, I don't care how great of a coach one guy is, you can't do it on your own, especially in today's day and age with NIL and this and that. It's not easy. That said, I am curious to see if he does bring any other coaches with him, because we all know that's a very common thing, familiarity, right? That always happens. And two, here's another thing. I mean, you got NIL. Not just NIL, but transfer portal. Best believe if there's anybody on this team that's not having any opportunities right now, they might look to go with their former coach and maybe see if there's opportunities elsewhere. I'll give an example. Mm-hmm. Maybe a guy like Jalen Hale. I know he tweeted. Yeah, you know, he's tweeted that, you know, he's, you know, trusting guys playing, and obviously he's, you know, probably a little upset he hadn't had the opportunities he had liked. Well, maybe he gets a chance to follow his former, you know, receiver coach mm-hmm. out there, and it works out well for him. So I don't know. It's just interesting to see how all this stuff develops.
Yeah, and I'll say this before we get on the game. UCLA has been an LA T4 forever. But the reason they struggled is they didn't pay their coaches and they never invested in the program. And they had good people. So I hope he gets that investment there. And because that's the only way you're going to win now, because Alabama – yes, we're not like an Austin, Texas or anything, but they get the investment, and I hope he gets that, because he can only do what you can. You can't, you know, you can't bake a cake without eggs. You know what I'm saying? So, but about the game, right? I think with this one here, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in no voodoo. I believe in playing good ball. The last two trips Alabama made there, they didn't play good football. It was no ghosts, no specters, anything like that. Let's just be real on that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this defense, like everybody talking about offensive line. Well, Auburn's offensive line isn't exactly the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, they get had. Their secondary can be had. And I know they hyped up Ashton Daniels and Deuce Knight, but since they fired Hugh Freeze, what was the great defense they went up against? I think it's the best defense they'll go up against. But it's incumbent on Ty Simpson playing clean football. And I'm not just talking about turnovers. It's being accurate. You got to hit those passes that's there that extend drives. And I'm not talking about the deep shot. I'm talking about the 15-yard passes that he missed to Jeremy with Jeremy's open, stuff like that. You got to hit those to keep the drive going. And because I believe this game might be 21-17, 21-13, something like that. But I think the reason that it's going to be close is the lack of the run game, and I believe it's more of a talent issue than a coach issue, because that's how you close out games, by running the football, and you control the clock. And I do applaud this staff for still only losing two games with that big of a deficiency. And I'll say this one last thing also. Alabama did do a decent job of corralling Lenore Sellers as a running QB. He was spinning, making people miss, did what he could, but he didn't have any gas runs, you get what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that if they just, the linebackers, if they keep doing the good job they have, I think we'll be fine. And I just think that, and I know they have a great receiver core, but we have a pretty daggum good secondary also. And I think long as we cut down the penalties that they've been doing all year, the running backs pass block, and I think Ty having to know when to go to the next play and hit those passes that a big quarterback should make. I think we got this. We'll win, and then see what happens in the championship game. But, hey, you have a good weekend, Christian.
Yeah, you too, Smitty. I appreciate it, man. Good stuff, bro. Good to hear from you, man. Yeah, no, I'm with Smitty on that. You know, playing clean for Ty, to me, is one of the biggest keys. And like you mentioned, hitting on those passes like we talked about earlier, finding a way to connect with those again, because those are huge, right? Like you said, you know, extending drives or really in those critical moments. If you go back and look again, whether it's South Carolina or even Oklahoma, I mean, there'd be some times where we have those guys, right, where those digs, you know, attacking the middle of the field. You know, usually Ty had been better than almost anybody in the country with that. But then you see, you know, over the last few weeks, we've had some misses there. And I just feel like, you know, playing on the road, hostile environment, a rivalry game against another really good defense, you're just not going to be able to afford some of those misses. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be the only thing, right? Because we saw he had those misses against Oklahoma, and we still would have survived, right, if we didn't have the turnovers. So, again, I'm not saying one thing is going to just be the thing. But to me, when I look at this matchup, I feel like those could add up and end up being an issue if they're not corrected. However, the positive is I do feel like going into this game, knowing Ty, knowing the passion that he plays with. I mean, it's the Iron Bowl, right? As a competitor, normally you play your best games in these big-time matchups like this, and I'm hoping that's the case for Ty and it can be a rebound game for him, because we definitely need him. I think a lot of this game will ride on what he's able to do, because we always talk about the guys up front. We know how important that is. But you got to give credit where it's due. Offensive line play has been pretty solid recently, I will say. Now, are they perfect? No. But in terms of keeping them clean, they've been doing a pretty good job. You know, a lot of the breakdowns recently, there's a couple up front with the guys, but not as many. You know, a lot of the sacks recently really fall on the running backs, failing in their pass pro. You had two backs give up sacks against Oklahoma. And so we all know that, you know, sometimes people just surface level are thinking, oh, it's the offensive line. But really, you go back and watch, man, the backs had to be better. So it's really a collective effort. Those guys just have to help, you know, keep them clean. But he's got to do his part in this game for sure. And I think we'll have success. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we go back to the phone lines. We got Ricky up next. Again, we got Slade Bolden joining us at 12:30. We're talking the Iron Bowl. We're talking Jamarcus Shepherd taking the job at Oregon State. What does that mean for Alabama? Where do we turn to next? We'll talk about a little bit of that and more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 12.
Sour Sweet Trolley Candy. It's a flavor collision you've got to try. But hurry, it's only here for a limited time. Mountain Dew Trolley. Do the dew, do the worm.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration,
We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
If you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremvaya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremvaya.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny but cold afternoon, the high 49. Another freeze tonight, clear with the low at 29. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, a chance of rain late tomorrow night, the high 54. Sunday, rain likely mainly during the morning, the high 53. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 47 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Festive Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arts to Support Experts. You heard the Christmas music. Well, that means Christmas is around the corner. What better way to show somebody you love them than to get them some premium art supports from the Good Feet Store that are designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, they knock it out. So head on over to the Good Feet Store. You can find them here in Tuscaloosa in Midtown Village, right there off McFarland Boulevard. Easy to find, or you can always go to their website to find the nearest location to you. They are nationwide. Five stores in Alabama, Birmingham, Mobile, some others to name a few. But just type in your zip code and it'll point you in the right direction. Plus, you can get more information. Schedule an appointment if you like to do that as well. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. And they also are in charge of the Good Feet Kick for Cash Challenge. Unfortunately, no more home games unless we get that home playoff berth, which not too sure if that'll happen. We'll have to see. But they do that for the home games, and you basically signed up to kick field goals for free cash. So make sure you guys stay up to date when they do some more stuff like that. And I'll keep you guys in the loop if they have anything planned in the future, because that's always a good opportunity. I want you guys always to win, right? So you get a chance to win signed football if you get the score prediction right. So we will be taking score predictions again today. 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines. Going back to it, we got Ricky up next. Ricky, welcome in.
What's going on, y'all? Happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays, Ricky. What's up, man? How's everything? How's your Thanksgiving, man?
Man, it was good. I had my sister with me in L.A., and we ordered Chinese food, and we just made sides. We didn't do the whole turkey thing.
Hold on. Did you say you ordered Chinese food on Thanksgiving? I'm not one to judge. I love Chinese food, but that's the first. I've never heard somebody say they ordered Chinese food for Thanksgiving. Are you Asian, by chance?
Man. I'm too old now to pretend like I like all this extra stuff on Thanksgiving. Like,
oh,
we all know it's all about the size.
Ricky, hold on. Wait. So, wait, you ordered Chinese food but then did Thanksgiving sides?
Yes.
Ricky, that might be the most L.A. thing I've heard, man. They got you, bro. They consumed you. So you had General Tso's chicken on a plate right next to some candy yams, some green bean casserole, stuffing, dressing, mashed potatoes. Like, Ricky, what in the world?
First of all, it was Dragon King we had on the
Dragon King.
It's a place called Dragon King off Crenshaw Boulevard. It's real good.
Okay.
They stay open. They all about their business. So I was like, all right. And it was unanimous.
Listen. It sounds great. Not the combination of the two. That sounds pretty weird to my taste buds. I'm not judging. I don't know if I can eat General Tso's chicken on the same plate as all that other stuff mentioned. But what kind of Chinese duck food? Okay.
No, it was
all right.
Good. We had roasted duck. You know, like I think we got like some vegetables, like some stir fried vegetables.
We had a couple
of egg rolls, and then like because we still had the bird. You know, we still had like all the regular size. It was just, I guess that would be the only thing that was like different. I guess, the duck instead of like
instead turkey. Of turkey. You know what? Like I said, I ain't one to judge, man. Listen. I love it for y'all, man. That's I'm not gonna lie. I've never heard that in my life, but that's what's up, man. Egg rolls, duck, and then some traditional Thanksgiving food, man. That's one hell of a plate
some,
you got.
Some dumplings.
Dumplings,
it all,
okay.
Real good, man.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead, talk to me, man. So,
up until Wednesday, I had us losing the Iron Bowl.
Hold on. Talk to me, Ricky. Hold on. That don't sound like you, Ricky. Hold on. What? You really? What you doing out there in L.A., brother? You had us losing up until Wednesday. Hold on. Talk to
me. Only
because. Oh, okay. Don't bring that on the airwaves. Right? No, why? Jesus.
Oh, man. All right. So check this out. The only reason it's not that I think like Auburn is the better team at all. I thought it would be like another Oklahoma situation where, like, I think Ty kind of forces throws through a good secondary or not as good as a secondary as, like, Oklahoma. But I think he might force throws. I think he's going to turn the ball over. It's going to probably be the same kind of game, Oklahoma, like, where I think Alabama is the clear better team. But, like, turnovers just get the better of us. Beating ourselves. That's essentially what I thought. Gotcha. I just think, but like, you know, you sleep on it a little bit, and now I'm just kind of like, well, if you don't ask him to do much but just play his game, I think we'll be all right. Like, I have no questions on, like, what our defense can do. I think defensively speaking, I think we're on par with Oklahoma and Ohio State, defensively, at least. I just think Ty needs to play his game. If he doesn't force anything, he doesn't turn the ball over, O-line has to do their job, I think we'll be all right. If not, it can, in my opinion, go the way of Oklahoma where we, like, lose by two or three because of turnovers.
I hear what you're saying. And then, listen, I'll say this. If we go out there and play how we played last few weeks offensively, right, and we're out of rhythm, we're missing on some of those key throws in the game, we're not able to really consistently run the football, we look one-dimensional and we turn the football over, you're not wrong. I mean, I hate to say this, but, I mean, there's definitely a chance you don't win the football game if you're Alabama. I mean, and that's not to make anybody upset or get in your feelings, because people, they hear things how they want to hear and they start flipping out. Again, let me repeat, if you go out there and go play bad ball, like I just said, that includes the turnovers, not converting on third downs, missing throws that we normally make. Again, that's what I'm saying. That is a recipe to lose a football game, especially in a hostile, you know, territory like this when they got all that energy stuff. However, I'm trying to lean into the side of it, Ricky, where I'm like, hopefully we use the motivation of not playing great offensively the last few weeks, going against our rival. Hopefully that helps kind of, you know, give us that boost to get back on track, and I'm trying to lean into that. However, I do think there still will be some challenges in this game. I mean, listen, when you play on the road in an environment like this against your rival, I mean, it's going to be loud. It's going to be chaotic. They're going to make a play or two. The crowd's going to go crazy. You got to have composure, control everything. Like, that might come up. But I think what makes me feel better, Ricky, is even though their offense, I'm talking about Auburn now, has had some success with the last 2 weeks, I'm with you. I think our defense has been playing damn near lights out, right? The only thing our defense doesn't do a whole bunch of is, I would say, like, some of the negative plays, right? I don't think we force as many negative plays as some others. I'm not talking about turnovers. I'm saying, like, negative plays. I know, like, a few weeks ago, statistically, in terms of, like, sacks and tackles for loss, we were still really low in those categories, which, again, it's not, like, the only category, but you get what I'm saying. That's one thing I feel like we could do more of, and I think Kane Womack would agree. That said, as long as you find a way to really limit the explosives from some of their key skill guys and control the dual threat nature of their quarterbacks, I don't see Auburn scoring a whole bunch of points, personally. I really don't. That's why I think it ends up being more of like a 24-17, 21-17 type deal, kind of like Smitty was saying. But again, I think that's why I'm putting so much emphasis on our offense. I'm not worried about our defense, Harley. Our offense, I understand those concerns you're talking about, because I know You know, we've had some challenges recently, even at home, just as an offense. Now take that same offense on the road in the environment that you're going to face against this Auburn defense that is a really good front seven. Now, I'll tell you this. So secondary-wise, they give up a number of explosive plays. So hopefully we can find a way to get back on track with our explosives, even though we haven't really been a team to rely on these big explosives like we did last year, right? But there will be some opportunities, and if we can take advantage of those, I mean, I think our offense can do some good stuff. But they're going to be challenged, and that's a fact. I mean, this Auburn defense, they got a good front seven for sure.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, it's, this team is the weirdest thing. It's, I think it might have been it might be, like, the first team in a while that I thought can beat everybody but could also lose to everybody if not careful. I think it's not that I think Auburn can score either. Like, I don't think Oklahoma can score. Like, Oklahoma only had, like, one, like, offensive touchdown when we played. And, like, I thought we did really good defensively. Like, if not for a fumble from Ryan, we might have held into a field goal like that. Like, so you, right. I think it's just the turnovers, special teams. Defensively, like, I got, like, no, like, complaint. I think Kane Womack, I've been with him since last year, like most of us. But I think he's just been, we've just been, like, running, like, heavily on him, which is, like, surprising this year. But I got us winning the game. Up until Wednesday, I just thought, like, I just think Ty's going, like, force throws, a few picks, some field goals, really, like, really turn the table in this game. I think Tossie misses, like, maybe two field goals. It's just, I keep making this, like, this joke, like, after the South Carolina game, why that was, again, another reason why that was bad coaching by Shane Beamer to, like, let us score. I keep making that, like, little joke. But I think he'll figure it out, man. Like, I think Will Riker had, like, some bad kicks, like, in his career or his tenure here. But I think he'll figure it out. I think we'll win. Not by a lot. I think by two field goals, not a full touchdown. That's kind of where I have us right now. Like, again, unless Ty forces throws, turn the ball over. I do see us losing the game, but I do have us winning it.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's understandable given, you know, the nature of our offense not being as clean and as sound in recent weeks, and you're going on the road against your rival. I hear exactly what you're saying. Ricky, I appreciate you, brother. Man. Hope you have – yeah, go ahead.
Tell all your YouTube listeners that me and you don't got no beef, man, I swear.
No, I'm always giving you a hard time. There's no beef there, bro. It's all love, man. Ricky's one of our day ones, man. We always appreciate it, bro.
All right, y'all.
Yes, sir. We'll see you, bro. Have a good weekend, man. Good deal. All right, we're ahead of time. We come back. We'll be joined by Reagan Starn of R&R Cigars, getting his smoking hot picks. We continue talking this Iron Bowl game tomorrow, right here on the Miller's Edge, 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
The Cincinnati Bengals improved to 4-8 as they beat the Baltimore Ravens, who fall to 6-6. 32-14, Joe Burrow in his first game back goes 24 for 46, 261 through the air, and two touchdown passes, one to Andre Eshavas, the other to Tanner Hudson. Baltimore's two touchdowns were scored by Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell. This is Lamar Jackson's third game in a row without a passing touchdown. The Dallas Cowboys and Kansas City Chiefs, Dallas with the 38-28 win over Kansas City. Dallas improving to 6-5-1. Kansas City falling to 6-6. Dak Prescott with two touchdown passes. Kansas City scored 14 fourth quarter points. Wasn't enough to make up the margin. Then the first game of the day, the Packers beat the Lions 31.
offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We're now joined by Reagan Starner of R&R Cigars, as we do every Friday, to get his smoking hot picks. A lot of good games this weekend. Kicking off today already, you got the Egg Bowl going on, the big one being the Iron Bowl tomorrow. Reagan, welcome in. Happy Thanksgiving, or late Thanksgiving to you. How was it, man?
I was sick all day yesterday. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, I only had like one plate, so it was really, I was really disappointed because Leslie had cooked. Yeah, I'm better today, but like Leslie had cooked like this beautiful prime rib. We don't do turkey because turkey is a mid meat, and I'm tired of people pretending. Like turkey's good. If turkey was good, you would make it more than one time a year, and not just only on sandwiches. So miss me with the turkey takes. But I mean, she made the turkey, the mash, the mac and cheese, the creamed corn, the mashed potatoes, and like I was just feeling so bad that I just couldn't eat more than one plate. So very, very sad, but I was.
You got leftovers, right? I mean, if you're feeling better today or tomorrow, so you can always. A leftover sometimes for whatever reason almost hit even more than the same day. So yeah, man.
Yeah,
it sounds good though, man. Shout out to Leslie doing her thing.
Of course. Yeah, you know, it took a long time to get her to where she was the master of the kitchen, but you know, she embraced that, and when we first started dating, she couldn't make a sandwich.
Okay, Reagan, you're going to get yourself in trouble, man.
I'm telling you. She couldn't make a sandwich, and now she cooks these gourmet meals. It's amazing.
That's the growth and evolution we'd like to hear, man. Shout out to Leslie. Yeah. Leslie, he's being a good husband. He's not throwing you under the bus. He said he's great now, so that's...
I'm bragging about how good of a cook
she is. That's true. You definitely are. Well, Reagan, I need you to brag about some of these scores that we got this weekend. You've been pretty solid with a lot of the picks we had. And, you know, it's rivalry weekend.
Hey,
so we got... Go ahead.
Before we get that, I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard you guys on the segment before talking about Talty.
Wait, when was it? Talking about Monday?
I don't remember, but I heard you talking about Talty. How do you feel? Because I'm torn on this thing. So, like, on the one hand, I understand Kalen DeBoer saying, don't boo the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you know, like, he's like, I wish the fans had his back like the guys in the locker room. And on the other hand, I didn't see Talty having the back of the long snapper after he missed the kick.
That's a good point to bring up.
I'm curious your take because you played. You know, it's a little different.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you asked that because I'm not going to lie. I had one perspective or stance initially, and then after, I guess, talking with at least one of our callers and just kind of hearing some other perspectives, it's kind of shifted a little bit. But this is what I would say. Because initially, going back to him yelling at the long snapper, I wasn't a big fan of it because in that situation, yes, I mean, the snap could have been a little bit better. But in my opinion, I get it's a competitive sport. I know I always give the example of us, you know, going at each other on the sideline a little bit. But that was like, all right, a guy has a mental error, a bust, it leads to a big play. Like, you know, we're holding each other accountable. And at first, I didn't really register that as the same thing. That to me was like, I almost felt like a cop-out because I'm like, yes, the snap wasn't great, but he still had an opportunity. It was a chip shot. He missed it. His first thing was going off on that guy. And I didn't really like that. And I didn't really think of it until somebody was like, well, technically, how is that that different than what you just were explaining with, like, you and your teammates kind of getting into it on the sideline? And I was like, maybe it's not as different as I initially thought, but I still, like for example, when we had that big, not blow up, but, like, guys literally about to throw blows against Southern Cal, we're up by a bunch of scores. That, to me, was showing the passion because we didn't want to give up more touchdowns or more points than we needed to, and a guy had a bust on the play. And so we were, you know, going at it, holding each other accountable then. It wasn't like, and we're on the sideline, you know what I mean? Like, we're not, we don't know the cameras. I guess they don't know it either. But to me, I'm like, all right, maybe y'all discuss it on the sideline, but you immediately just start ripping the guy right there. I don't know. It just felt a little bit different. But after talking with some of our listeners, I'm like, okay, I don't want to sound like I'm being a hypocrite. So I like competitiveness. I like people holding people accountable. But when it has a feel that it's like I'm picking on, not picking on the guy, but I'm throwing him under the bus, even though I'm not doing my job great either, because there's been a lot of other times he has had good snaps and still missed. That's why it kind of rubbed me. In terms of the booing, I do want to say this. I don't ever condone that or encourage that. I understand people, you know, pay their hard-earned money, and they, it's their life to live. They want to do that. I mean, no one's really stopping them. I just don't encourage that, because I do know at the end of the day, no one feels worse than the players, the coaches themselves. And I know he's, you know, upset with himself already. And I don't think it's a great look seeing our own fans boo our guys, even though I know in the NFL you see, you know, fans and whatnot boo. I don't encourage that or condone it. I'm not a fan of that personally. Just because I was a little critical of his response and his attitude and even leaning into, like, the hand gestures of encouraging it, I still would not promote or encourage anybody to do that. That said, you know, I think as a player in today's society, you have to almost go into it and expect there's going to be more attention, more heat on you, whether that's the booing in the stadium or on social media, because of the world we live in with NIL. I know from speaking to a lot of these fans nowadays and listeners, they feel a lot more entitled nowadays than they ever have, given that these universities are asking them for their money. They're donating their hard-earned money. So inevitably, they feel a little bit more entitled to do certain things, even though I don't agree with that personally, but that is what it is. So I think these players just have to kind of almost acknowledge, hey, man, fans are going to be a little bit more critical, more tough on us, given that we're able to benefit from NIL. So that's kind of my thought. Look, at the end of the day, we need to cheer for the guy, because we got to rely on him, and you never know when it can come down to him. We need him to be as confident as possible. And I personally don't think booing him's the best, but who knows? Maybe it might have gave him some motivation, and he kicks his ass off tomorrow. Who knows?
I'm not a fan of the booing, clearly, but it is tough because like, where do you draw the line on some of the criticisms here for players? Because, you know, it is, I mean, especially some of the guys that we know are making more than any of us will ever make in our lifetimes, you know. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like it does get a little rough. I'm not going and criticizing, like, I've decided I'm not going to do any more criticizing of players or of coaches, you know. But I do have questions, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. No, I hear what you're saying, and in terms of, like, Coach DeBoer's stance, I mean, in the media, I mean, he's definitely taking the right approach, because you don't want to sound like he's almost like dog whistling, like that he allows that. However, I just know another reason I was okay with being a little more, you know, frustrated initially with his attitude, not him missing the kicks. I mean, if you miss kicks, you miss kicks. It's frustrating. But I was more so like, I didn't really like the attitude that I thought he was displaying. My thing is, though, with Coach Saban, anytime our kickers miss kicks, I mean, and I don't know about how he handled it in the media. I didn't really listen to him talk like that. But in practice or in the game, he used to say the same thing. Do your blank job. You have one blank job. Like that, he literally said that.
Right.
So, I mean, he didn't really care about if the snap was a little, I mean, he would also yell at that guy, but you get what I'm saying? So that that's what I'm used to. So I guess just take that for what it is. Interesting point to bring up there. Interesting, but hopefully he gets some confidence because we might need him tomorrow. Speaking of some of these,
Need him tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a good chance. I mean, it's Iron Bowl, and kickers are pretty important, man. Before we get there, Reagan, we got a number of good rivalry games. You got the Egg Bowl going on. This looks like a pretty interesting game. I got it pulled up on the side of my monitor. Ole Miss is up. Might be Lane Kiffin's last home game as a head coach at Ole Miss. But then you've got Georgia Tech coming up here in a couple short hours, man. Let's start there. Big one for Georgia. I mean, they still got a lot of stuff in front of them. They need to win this game. Georgia Tech, 9-2. Brent Key's doing a good job. They're in the top 25. They're at 23 right now. I think they had another kind of questionable loss not long ago. But what do you think about that game there, Reagan, in Atlanta?
Well, it's another battle of two Saban assistants. Brent Key was awesome. Brent Key was probably one of my favorite coaches here when he was here. Love that guy. Georgia Tech really needs to win, I think, in order to make the playoff and keep the ACC from being left out. Having said that, I think Georgia is going to have their way with Georgia Tech. It's a 15.5 point spread. Honestly, I probably take Georgia Tech minus the points, but I think Georgia wins the game. And I don't know. I think Georgia blows them out. I'm sorry.
Really?
Sorry, Brent, you're the best. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Georgia. And I mean, sorry, I love Brent, man. I hate picking against him.
But, yeah, but I mean, you can love the guy, but I mean, we're just talking, taking football scores. It's not
like personal. I love locks, but if they're playing.
Yeah, and you would not take him. As much as you love locks, you unfortunately you have no choice but to bet against him a number of weeks out of the year. Hopefully he gets some more help over there. Reagan, this one's a little bit more important, right? You got Texas A&M and Texas. Texas A&M loses it. You know, they aren't in the they're definitely not in the SC championship game, probably still in the college football playoffs. No, actually not probably, they will be. But Texas, on the other hand, if they win this game, even though they're a three-loss team right now, there's a good chance that they do find themselves in the playoffs. This one is, Texas A&M is -2.5, so it's expected to be very close. It's in Austin. How do you see that one going, Reagan?
This is a weird one because Texas is so just hot and cold. Like, how do you beat Oklahoma but lose to Florida? And then, I mean, every other game, it's like, it's just been three-point win over Vandy, 7-point win in overtime over Mississippi State, 3-point win in overtime versus Kentucky. I just don't feel like they're there. I mean, Arch Manning needs to play the game of his life to win. I just don't see it. So I'm going A&M -2.5.
Yeah, that one's definitely got my attention. To be fair, Texas has been playing, or at least Arch Manning for sure. He's been playing a lot better in recent weeks, and that's what makes it a lot more interesting for me. Even though Texas A&M has got a really good defense, I'm excited about the game, and that is 6:30 this evening on ABC. So, again, I mean, that has some implications when it comes to the SEC championship game, playoff picture, all that stuff. So a lot of people probably will be watching that one for sure. Before we get to the big one, in the Iron Bowl, I got one more I want to ask you about. It's the one, the big shoe, right? Ohio State, Michigan. A lot of people, and I wouldn't say a lot of people, but I've been hearing this, Reagan. I'm curious your thoughts on this. A lot of people, or some people, let me stop saying a lot, feel that rivalry game, it clears the Iron Bowl, which I thought a lot of people had the Iron Bowl as being the biggest rivalry. But I've been hearing a number of people recently say that they would give it to Ohio State, Michigan. Right now, Ohio State's -9.5. Point favorite in this game is tomorrow at 11 on Fox. I'll say this, though. I mean, even though Ohio State is favored to win the game, there's a handful of people that do feel like Michigan. Don't count Michigan out is what I should say. What do you feel about this one? Michigan's playing for a playoff spot pretty much.
Yeah. Look, I don't understand the people that say that Ohio State and Michigan's a better rivalry than, like, than any other rivalry. I probably put that one on, like, on the top rivalries in college football. It'd probably be, like, bottom, if it was, like, a top 10, it would be, like, if it was, you know, top rivalry.
Oh, man, looks like we might have lost him accidentally. He's definitely going to circle back. Why? We'll keep going here just because if we can, let's combine breaks because we got Slade at 12:30. So I'll just wait for, if you want to dial him back up or he'll call back, that'll be perfect because I'll just get out of here at like 24, 25, and then we'll go straight into Slade. But while we get Reagan back on the line, because that probably should be in the next 20 seconds or so, I don't know if you guys have seen that or maybe it's just me, but I've been seeing a number of people recently. I think maybe was it Joel Klatt was one of them, but they were talking about that. Personally, I've never been to that game. It looks like we've got a brawl about to break out in the Egg Bowl. That's interesting. Benches started to clear for a second. But I've never been to Ohio State-Michigan game. I know it's, you know, a big one and there's a lot of history there. But personally, at least growing up as a kid in South Carolina, even though I wasn't a huge Alabama fan, like I always watched Alabama from a distance, but it wasn't until I was probably what 15 and so I really became a pretty big Alabama fan because they were recruiting me, right? They're one of the earlier schools to recruit me. That said, I always knew of the Iron Bowl growing up, right? Even though my biggest rivalry was, you know, growing up in South Carolina was the Palmetto Bowl, which South Carolina Clemson, and that was a big deal, but I always felt like the Iron Bowl just kind of took center stage when it came to rivalries. So, I don't know. Michigan, Ohio State, I guess I'll have to just go attend it one year to actually get a true, gauge on, I guess, that one. I can't speak on it from experience. I mean, I know what I've seen watching it and from a distance, but not really embracing it. Now, I do hear that the game itself is incredible and that it's something that you got to, if you're a football fan, man, you at least got to go to one of them. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's way off, but I just don't think it is exactly where the Iron Bowl is, but I'm clearly biased, so take that for what it is. All right, we got Reagan back on the lines. Reagan, sorry, we got disconnected there. I think you were finishing your comments.
I was like in the middle of like a really good rant. I was like really happy about it. I was like, yeah, this is a good rant. And then I like looked down and I was like, oh, I like disconnected. Look, I think it's a fraudulent rivalry. I think Ohio State is a fraud. I think Ryan Day's hair is a fraud. It's painted black. I wouldn't be surprised if his mustache and beard was like Hulk Hogan back during the NWO, like painted on too. I think Michigan's going to beat them. Justice Haynes might go crazy. But I mean, this is Ryan Day's Achilles heel. It's a bottom tier rivalry in college athletics. But yeah, go Michigan.
Wow. You're taking Michigan, man. Yeah. To be clear, and I just found this out thanks to Wyatt, man. He's on his stuff. Looks like Justice Haynes is going to be out versus Ohio State. Does that shift your take on the game at all?
No, I don't think so. It'll be all right. I think Ohio State's fraudulent. I think they're paper champs. It's kind of like Apollo Creed when he went to go fight Ivan Drago, man, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting,
man. Or it's
like,
man, Rocky when he went to go fight Mr. T, you know?
It's just, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm with you to an extent. Like, I hear you, but I will say, I mean, they're a good team in my eyes from watching them. Now, I do want to see them perform against other good teams, right? I know – really, yeah. Texas is one of the few that I feel like was a decent team. Then we saw what Texas ended up being and how that game went. But that's still just week one. A lot of things do change. That said, man, I'm definitely going to be glued in on that one now, man. You're making me curious about that game. Alabama, Auburn, the Iron Bowl, right? The biggest rivalry of them all, according to most, takes place tomorrow evening. Reagan, we're on the road, Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn. We all know a lot of weird stuff happens in these games. A lot of Alabama fans are tired of hearing that, but it is true. I mean, there's just been some interesting things over the years. You got an Auburn football team with a little bit of new life in them. DJ Durkin taking over. You've got Derek Nix taking over as play calling. They put up over 100 points and 1,100 yards the past 2 weeks, and they've got a pretty good defense, man. What do you think about the Iron Bowl? Alabama's a -5.5-point favorite right here. Do you think Alabama's offense can get back on track, handle the hostility of Jordan-Hare Stadium, and walk away with the dub with everything still in front of them?
Man, it depends on how, I mean, it all comes down to how Ty plays, you know? Like, if he doesn't turn the ball over like crazy, could be a pretty easy game. You know, I don't know. It's like with Oklahoma, I mean, should have been a 40, the offense should probably scored about 40 points, but, turnovers being what they are. I don't know. I Auburn game's so weird. I hate the whole superstition about, you know, Jordan-Hare Stadium. I think Alabama wins handily, but I'm sure it'll be close because why wouldn't it be? It shouldn't be close. The talent discrepancy on the field and the quality of coaches shouldn't be. It shouldn't be close. You know, it's how does Coach Shepherd leaving, you know, like I know he's not like left yet, but you know, how does Coach Shepherd's announcement of leaving a day before the Iron Bowl affect the team? You know, all the rumors going on about everybody else on the team with the coaches leaving. You know, there's a lot of like weird stuff that's been going on this week, trying to distract these boys from, you know, Iron Bowl. But I think Alabama wins, and I think they cover the 5.5. I think it's probably like 27 to like 17 type game. Mm.
I hear you. 27-17. Yeah, I mean, that's like, I think it's definitely probably low 20s area. I was thinking like 24-21, 24-17. So we're not far off. I feel you on that. Yeah. I 100% agree with you. I think a lot rides on Ty Simpson and his ability to get back in his rhythm, protect the football, and make things happen. Because I don't think Auburn's going to be able to score many points. I mean, I think they might have some plays here and there because they always seem to find a way to have an explosive or two. And when they have those dual threat quarterbacks, they'll be able to make some plays with their legs. But we've been, I mean, red hot in the red zone, and we don't give up many touchdowns. So I don't see Auburn scoring many points. So I just think it really falls on our offense. Taking care of the football, can't have any, you know, issues with turnovers like we did against Oklahoma, and finding ways to connect like we did earlier in the year. So I'm with you all the way. Reagan Starn of R&R Cigars, who joined us every Friday. Reagan, before we let you go, man, remind everybody again about the food drive. It's still going on for you guys, right?
We donated all the food.
Oh, good.
Yep. So the food drive's over. Don't know how many people we fed. We had a lot of food. Had a lot of cans. We're going to start getting into the Christmas toy drive.
Nice.
We're going to work with my daughter's daycare, First Baptist, to get some toys to some kids that wouldn't have Christmas. So,
heck yeah.
Always well, important.
Definitely when you get that information, man, pass it on over, and we'll definitely be spreading the word. Now that the food drive is concluded, and big thanks to everybody that participated and helped Reagan and R&R Cigars do their mission of feeding families this holiday season. And now they're going to turn their attention to the toy drive coming up for Christmas. So be on the lookout for that. But you already know, R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street. If you're looking for a place to watch the game tomorrow, definitely check them out. Cigars Galore, best humidor in the Southeast. Over 160 bourbons that you can try. Plus, they're now including the Alabama liquor that is new and out. So you can check that out there again. And be on the lookout for the toy drive that's coming up as well. Again, that's R&R Cigars. Plus, code Miller's Edge on the website, rnrcigars.com, for that discount. Reagan, I appreciate you, man. Happy holidays. Hi, man. And have a great Roll weekend, tide. Brother.
All right, bye. Thank you.
See ya. Roll Tide. Good deal. All right, we got to hit a timeout. Big thanks to Reagan joining us. Up next, we got Slim Shady, Slade Bolden, hopping on here on the stream. You can check that out at YouTube at the
Miller. And off all IQBar products, plus free shipping when you text IQBar to 64,000. Text IQBar to 64,000 to get your 20% off. That's IQBar to 64,000.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this festive Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Guys, hear the Christmas music going. Hopefully Slade likes that, because we're now joined by Slim Shady, a.k.a. Slade Bolden, former Alabama wide receiver. Quite the media personality now, man. Slade makes his rounds, man. And again, we're going to start doing some stuff 100% for sure. But Slade, welcome in, man. How was Thanksgiving, bro? I didn't even ask you that while we were talking during the break.
No, I mean, we get to talking, and one just subject, going. We just roll and roll, which is always good. But no, I love the Christmas music. Obviously, like, I love Christmas, you know, not only as the birth of our Lord and Savior, but, man, just the spirit, the football season, you know, this is where everything gets real in college and the NFL. So it's a great time, especially in the football world. And, yes, I love the Christmas music intro, but, man, Thanksgiving was great. I actually spent Thanksgiving at my girlfriend's family's house down in Livingston, Louisiana, East Baton Rouge, and ate plenty. Trust me, still full to the day. So it was great, though. It was fun. And now I'm back home, and now you can see in the background, it's like my old high school pictures. It used to be my game room.
Then home.
Yeah, I'm at West Monroe Crib.
Oh, but, dang, I did notice that. That's what's up. Stomping grounds.
Yeah, but now my grandma turned it to her office, so no longer game room. But still got my trophies, some of my old high school memorabilia up. But I'm doing good. How was your Thanksgiving, C-Mill?
Hey, he's good, man. I went to James Flame's house. Speaking of him, we were talking about him. I went to his house, and I was bragging earlier. I won't spend too much time on it, but... listen, I know everybody thinks they got the best plates, man, and I didn't contribute or cook it, so I'm not trying to brag. They handled it. You know, Jamie's from Mobile. Savannah, her uncle's a butcher, and so she brings back stuff from him, and he's got, I mean, like macaroni and cheese with brisket, you know, cooked into it with bacon on top. Jamie's cooking greens with smoked turkey necks, you know, cooking it. Hey, listen, man. I have no complaints, bro.
I have no complaints. I knew it was going to be like that over there.
Every time. Yeah, you know.
There's no one else.
For our listeners, because, you know, they're not familiar with his game. Jamie always was the one doing crawfish in college. He was the guy. So he was holding crawfish bowls. He was cooking on the grill. Matter of fact, here's my plate I'll put on the screen real quick. That's my plate. It's a little blurry, but you can see that the turkey down the bottom. Sweet potatoes, stuff in the middle. You see those greens with the turkey neck in there, the brisket up top. What's up? Oh, green bean casserole. Then you've got, last but not least?
Dressing?
Mac and cheese. Yeah, dressing was in the middle. It was everything. A1, no complaints. All right, enough about food. Let's talk about some football, because there's plenty of it today. Egg Bowl is going on right now. We got the Iron Bowl tomorrow. Talk to me, Slade. How are you? What's your overall feelings right now, man? All right, we got Alabama. We know what's on the line. Everything's in front of us. You win this game, you're in the SEC championship game, you're in the playoffs, all that good stuff. But like we said, you got to win this game. You're going against an Auburn team that, you know, 5-win team right now, but they're a solid football team. I'll say that, right? I mean, offensively, they've been pretty stagnant for, I guess, majority of the season. They promote DJ Durkin, defensive coordinator, but he gives play call and responsibilities. Derek Nix. Their offense looks different now. New quarterback, right? They put up 100 points in the last two games. I know that includes Mercer, but you still see. I mean, they're finding a little bit of rhythm offensively. They've got a really good defense, really good front seven. You and I both know what it's like to play at Jordan-Hare. I mean, what comes with that? It's a tough environment. Coach DeBoer's first time. Overall, how are you feeling about this game and this matchup? Not to mention, offensively, it's about 4 straight weeks now that we hadn't really, I know Eastern Illinois, but still, if you looked at, you know, Ty's, you know, contributions in the first half, still one, you know, great performance in terms of his rhythm and accuracy for the most part. How are you feeling overall?
Well, first off, this week, man, it's as much as we love to go in every week, it's just another game on the schedule, preparation, how, you know, everything building up to the game day. It's always the same, right? You got to treat every week like it's the same, but we know mentally,
yeah,
this week is a lot different. This holds the cards of people's mental health through the rest of the football season and maybe even the year in the state of Alabama. It is a huge game and it's such a historical and great rivalry, but we've seen this movie a lot of times, and a lot of times it's been a horror movie going in Jordan Air, you know, basically losing. If you lose this game, you get bounced out of playoffs or you leave it up to the committee. And that's one thing that, you know, I figured we'd get possibly punched in the mouth one more time this season. I think it would be at Georgia, against Georgia. But obviously came out victorious. And I was thinking, okay, at home against Oklahoma this year, we're going to get our revenge back. I'm not worried. So going into Auburn, it doesn't matter what the record is. All that, you can throw it out the window. They come out and they play like a top 10 team every time they play us. And obviously there is something going on in that stadium that needs to be exercised. I don't know what it is, but
bring the holy oil. We need to bring some anointing oil, put the cross all around the stadium.
Something, a doll. we got. So with all those things, it's just, you know, you try not to, I guess, you know, if I was in these guys' shoes, still as a player, you don't want to, you know, let this moment get too big, but also you got to enjoy it, embrace it, because it is one of the most special historical rivalries there is. And, you know, a lot of these guys grew up watching and wanting to play in this game. So, you know, enjoy it, embrace it, but don't let it get too big. So obviously we can get in depth, like what I feel like we need to do and, you know, what we haven't done well to possibly, you know, take advantage and dominate this game, but it doesn't matter. Something's going to happen. It's how we respond. You know, it's not how we prepare almost sometimes.
that's a good point. I mean, look, and response is everything, because you just said it. I mean, you're expecting to get hit in the mouth, right? I mean, it's a rivalry game. It's an SEC game. It's a game that has a lot on the line. These guys, they might not be playing for as much, but if they win it, I think that would make them bowl eligible. Correct. And they might not really care about it that much, but the fact that they're playing us and they could, you know, take away our hopes and dreams, best believe that's going to add some motivation. We'll dive into what we need to do, but we'll do that when we come back. We'll take a quick timeout to stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll dive into what Alabama needs to do. We get Slade's thoughts, so I want to ask you some offensive stuff. You're an offensive guy. You understand rhythm, timing, and connections and that. So I want to get your thoughts on that. We'll do that when we come back.
Vaporize that ball.
That fun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool. This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We're joined by former Alabama wide receiver Slim Shady Slade Bolden here on the show, as he does regularly. And again, I promise, I know people are like, oh, what are y'all doing a podcast? I'm terrible with names. I'm terrible with trying to just get everything lined up with direction. And now that I'm thinking about it, what is, instead of it being so breakdown oriented, we can just come up with something where we're just shooting the stuff. Oh, I forgot we're back on air. Shooting the stuff,
shooting the ball.
There you go. Like we just do anyways. But yeah, we'll definitely get some more of that going. I promise. We're doing more content. Whatever. We'll do more of it because you guys enjoy it. All right, Slade. We're talking about the Iron Bowl. You already told us about the history of it as a player and just kind of what all comes with that. We know from experience, like it's always. At least for them, they treat it like a Super Bowl. We always treat it like definitely one of our biggest games of the year, regardless of whatever. Because like you said, I mean, there's always implications on the line, right? It's always, especially before they went away with the East and West, it always was the winner of this game typically went on to go play in the SEC championship game or got that opportunity for the college football playoffs. So that's not new to us. All right. A little bit newer to this coaching staff, however, they've never traveled to Jordan-Hare Stadium. And again, I'm not trying to find a bunch of reasons for people to be worried, but that is something I'm curious about, just kind of how you talked about the response, how these things, you know, could have an effect or play a role. Just because We know, even going there with Coach Saban, who've been there a million times, and us playing, like, it's a tough challenge, right? I know fans are a little frustrated hearing that kind of stuff, but just as players from our experience, that doesn't mean you're scared or nervous. It's just to acknowledge, like, playing at Auburn is a tough place to play. Just like playing at Tennessee, at least for me, I'm sure you would agree, is always loud as hell, and it's a hard play, especially for you on offense. Tennessee is, it's tough with that environment, with how hostile it is. I mean, it is what it is. They're a tough place to play. No different at Jordan-Hare. Let's talk about some of these keys to look forward in this game. For me, I'll just give you mine real quick.
Yeah.
Offensively, I think a lot rides on Ty. He hadn't really had his rhythm, you know, like we saw him earlier in the season recently. The good news is I do feel like he's due for one of those games, one of those response games. Even though it's going to be challenging to do that in this type of game with, you know, all the hostility and playing on the road like that, I just have faith that we're going to see a similar tie, or hope that we see a similar tie that we saw against Georgia. I'm not saying he's going to be perfect, but that confidence, that swagger, hitting those throws, attacking the middle part of the field, if those hole shots open up, right, being accurate with those throws like we saw him doing so earlier, I have confidence that he can help return to form, because I do believe that's going to be one of the biggest factors in this game. And most importantly, taking care of the football. I also think little things like, you know, starting fast would be big, killing their motivation, trying to stay, you know, ahead of the chains, right? They have a really good rushing defense, but not getting behind the sticks, being a lot of third and long situations, a lot of crowd noise, a lot of, you know, chaotic, you know, stuff going on. That could make your day a little bit longer than it needs to be. And then on the other side of the football, to me, it's pretty simple. You know, controlling, you know, their dual threat quarterbacks, right? You'll probably see maybe at least two of them. That's going to be big in this game. You know, stopping the run, and then also getting back to forcing turnovers, because that was something we didn't do against Oklahoma. And even though a lot of that was on us offensively for having turnovers, if defense would have done, you know, took advantage of some of the opportunities that they had, that could have been a difference in the game. So those are my main keys, just surface level. Tell me, say, when you look at this game, what does Alabama need to do to have success? Because you said during the timeout, you had a little bit of concern when you looked at this matchup. What does Alabama need to do to ease some of that for you?
Well, you know, I'm basically just going to hit and piggyback off what you said, because you pretty much covered everything from a, you know, exact fundamental execution standpoint on, like, hey, this is the things that we need to hit and we need to accomplish and execute. But I think it is more of like, you got to weather that storm at first, right? You know, just understanding, and it's almost maybe not a bad thing that DeBoer hasn't experienced this, because he is going to treat this like it's just another game. Hopefully that he treats every other game like it's the biggest game on the schedule, because it's the next one, right?
Right.
So that could be a positive thing. But, you know, you come out, these guys are going to be flying around, flying on, you know, high levels, all cylinders, and you just got to weather that, you know, execute, don't make any mistakes, you know, win the turnover game, right? Remember Coach Saban would maybe put up the big stat board of all the teams and all the games from the weekend, and, you know, what team from each game had the certain amount of turnovers, and whoever had the least amount of turnovers or more turnovers, you know, was pretty much the winner. It was like 90% or whatever.
I literally just, earlier before you got, I literally was detailing that just how you did. So I'm laughing because it's hilarious. You literally brought it up and then explained it the exact side, because I just said that's funny. So see, I'm not lying, Slade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And every week, every Monday.
100%. And it's so true. And that's the thing where, in these type of games where a team like Auburn is just going to build off momentum. They're going to come out flying. And once they capitalize on a turnover, three and out, you know, or they're just causing disruption, that's where you start keeping them in the game. So I think we weather the storm. We execute a high level, like you said, long sustaining drives, you know, because once you start having those long sustaining drives, putting yourself in good third down situations, you know, keeping the ball on offense, you start taking the wind out of these guys. You know, they're starting to believe in the fact that they can't win, right? Because at first they're feeling like Superman. Yeah, invincible. Yeah. We can win this game. We've done it before. So that is like the mental, I guess, challenge coming in from like a true execution standpoint. Yeah, I do think Ty has to, you know, execute higher. But we talked about this after LSU, and as much as he's played so well and he hasn't really shown what he's shown in, you know, the first or, you know, 75% of the season, man, I hate to put too much pressure on him, because it's at all levels, right? And we talked about timing and rhythm and flow. So, you know, obviously the center's got to snap it, a good snap. Todd's got to catch the ball. Obviously, the call has to be correct, whether it's a run or pass block. Everybody's got to know the right assignment, communicate at the line. Receivers can't take 3 years at the line if it's man, because that's what they're probably going to run. So they've always done against us is just pressure, cover zero, cover one, two man. You know, we got to get off our releases, you know, run the right routes at the right depth so that when Ty's ready, he's on his third or his fifth drop and he knows the coverage, he's already prepared for it. He can get it out on time, right? So I think all these things come from just every level. And for me, the biggest thing that has, I think, put more pressure on Ty trying to do too much or feel like he has to because of the run game not being efficient, which has caused him to force throws I don't think he normally would make or has been making. And when you try to force things, normally it results in negative plays or turnovers. So I think one thing that we need to do as a team and an individual standpoint is regroup. And, you know, I actually said this on a podcast Sunday talking about this game, you know, if we would go back and let's just find our weaknesses. Okay, so run game, how do we get it better? Great, right? That we want to get the run game efficiency up. But what makes us great, right? If you just focus on the weaknesses, you're slowly going to build the weaknesses up as your strengths come down, and we're just going to sit at average. We don't want to be average people. What keeps us great? We got to keep that great. So let's go back. Let's look at what's worked, you know, fundamentally for us and get back to that and execute those plays, I think, that pertain to Auburn's defense. Because obviously we played however many games now, right? Was it 10?
11.
10 games? 11? Yeah, it's more than what we used to play. And obviously you see, okay, we had Auburn run this type of defense. When we played so-and-so, we executed really well from a run standpoint, play-action standpoint, RPO standpoint, you know, just regular drop-back, quick game, whatever you want to call it, against this coverage. Okay, what has done really well against each every coverage? And now let's implement into that and let's execute that. All right, look, we're here Friday. Hopefully they already did that in practice this week.
Yeah.
But I think that's something that, you know, everybody's like, we got to get back to the, you know, we got to get a run game up. We got a run game up. It's like, okay, well, we tried. It's been 3 weeks when we hadn't really ran the ball efficiently outside of Eastern Illinois, which I'm not counting. Right. So I'm kind of done trying to figure out why we or how we could execute that. It's more like, okay, let's do what works. Let's play our game. And I would just like to see guys, like, because you can run the ball in different ways, right? I think a swing out of the backfield or an end around or a bubble route or end around bubble route, I guess, you know, motion behind a quarterback, which I had to run all the time because I was just check down Charlie. So you get guys like Ryan Williams, you get Jeremy, and I know they have done some of those things, but you get those guys, your playmakers on the outside where we've had success instead of inside the tackles. Get them on the perimeter in those different ways. And I'll tell you this, Ryan and Jeremy are really great players with the ball in their hands. And I know Ryan's kind of struggled this year with seeing the ball and, you know, maybe a little confidence. That's how you get him confident. That's how you get those little easy touches. And I know they've tried, but I could see more. And there are just so many different ways that you can run the ball, right?
Yeah.
It just looks from a – where your guys ending up, it looks the same from the just, you know, the stretch or inside or outside zone. So I'm fired up, of course. You know, I'm ready to see because, look, we come out, we weather the storm, you know, execute at a high level, and we just end up dominating. And then that just puts in the, you know, the more, I guess, trust, not really trust, but it helps the committee be like, okay, yeah, this team is real. They struggled in two games, the first one being a fluke. And, hey, couldn't run the ball against a really good Oklahoma team. So I think that will – I don't know what score is going to be, because who knows with this place.
You don't want a chance to win a signed football from your former teammate? You don't want to drop it out of there.
Wait. I didn't know that was – is it your –
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to definitely try to guess
right. All right. Drop a score prediction. You got a chance. I'll give you a chance.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go, just because this game's always such a battle, I'm going to go 24 13. I think they score one touchdown and two field goals. And I, as much as I don't know if I want us to kick a field goal. But yeah, 24-13.
24-13. All right, give me 21 for us. Give them 17. I'm gonna go 21-17 in this one, man. I don't think we can control it.
Yeah,
we'll see. All right, I'm gonna wrap things up here on the air. We'll stay here for just a second until it's played. Bye, second. But appreciate everybody. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you guys have a great weekend, a great Iron Bowl weekend. Hope you guys are back here Monday for what's hopefully a victory Monday right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Big thanks to Wyatt behind the glass. And make sure you guys stay tuned, Tide 100.9 for Wyatt, who's coming up next. We'll see you guys Monday.